All right. Good morning once again, gentlemen. Did you guys sleep well last night? Are you at the point where you're tired enough to just clock out? Oh, good. That's so nice. That nice deep camp sleep. It's a good thing. All right. So we've been going through a story this weekend. The story of the Bible, the story of God, the creator and his creation. We've kind of gotten up to this point where we've caught up with where we're living, right? Because we started the story, God created the heavens and the earth. God made everything by the power of his words. He made men and women special in his image to know and to love and to serve him. But mankind turned away from the God that made them, sought after all kinds of other things. And over and over and over again, they turned away from God and they turned away from God until finally God made a way. God made a way in Jesus Christ. He sent his son, God in the flesh, to live the perfect life that we couldn't, to die the death that we deserve, to rise again so that we could have the life that he earned. And then as we look at scripture, what we see is that after Jesus rises again, he spends some time with his disciples, with his friends, with his followers, and he gives them a job to do. We call that the Great Commission, right? And he gives them this job to go and to make disciples, to tell others about who Jesus is and what he's done. We've summed this up in camp before like this. We said that the job that Jesus gives us to do is twofold, that it's to be like him and it's to help others be like him. Right? And then Jesus gives this job to his people, and then he ascends. He goes up into heaven to be at the right hand of his Father in heaven. And now his people are here, and they're trying to figure out, what does it look like to live this life of following Jesus when he's not standing physically right here in front of me? And 2,000 years later, we're in the same place. We're in the same boat, but we're still living this life of following Christ, trying to be like him and help others be like him. I'm asking the question, what does it look like to follow him when he's not standing right here in front of me? And so we've caught up to ourselves, right? We're somewhere around here in the story. There's still a little bit left, but this is where we're at. This is where we pick up. This is where you and I are living, is here in this moment, this place in the story. And the biggest question for so many of us is, in light of all these things that we've seen, in light of all these things that we've heard, and in light of what we know about who God is and who we are made to be, then how do we live that out? What does that look like in our lives? What does that look like as we move through this world? It's a question of how do we live? And this question of how do we live, at the end of the day, it's a question of identity. It's a question of who are we? Because how we live is determined by who we are. In order to live the way that Jesus has called us to live, we need to have an accurate, clear picture of our identity. We need to know without a doubt who we are. Because when we get our identity messed up, we can find ourselves in a whole lot of pain. When I was a kid, when I was kind of in like late elementary, junior high, the coolest thing in the world to be was a skateboarder. I was a kid during the Tony Hawk golden days, so everything was about skating, right? Like, the cool music was about skating, and the cool clothes were about skating, and the coolest video game in the world was Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, and had the coolest soundtrack in the world. That's not the point. But I loved all of this stuff. I loved skating culture as a kid. And so I played the video games. I listened to the music. I wore the clothes, including like these big giant shoes that weighed like 75 pounds a piece. I don't know how anyone ever skated in those. So, some of the dads know what I'm talking about. That was cool, was being a skater. And I remember I bought this skateboard from like Walmart. And it was like this cheap, like $20 skateboard. Like, you would try to spin the wheels, right? And they wouldn't actually keep spinning. You know what I'm talking about? But it had this awesome like black like panther on the bottom. Not the superhero, just an actual panther. It was cool, man. And in my in my town at the time, there was this place, there was a skate park, this big indoor skate park, and it was awesome. And in the center of the skate park, they had this big giant half pipe, this big vert ramp, right? And so this vert ramp was like 20 feet tall. If you don't know what a vert ramp is, it's like a platform like 20 feet high, and then it drops straight down. Vertical, that's what vert means, right? Drops straight down, it curves at the bottom, and it goes back up on the other side straight up, right? And that was like the big, like the centerpiece of the skate park. And so here I am, cool kid Chip, with my skater clothes and my big like baggy shorts and my giant like Clydesdale shoes, and they were Osiris, it was cool. My giant shoes, and I went to the skate park with some friends, and I was like, I mean, I'm a cool skater kid. Like, I listen to ska, you know, and like, and so I'm going to be a cool skater kid, and I'm going to drop in on that vert ramp, right? Now, I have my $20 Walmart skateboard. I've only ever dropped in on my driveway, right? And so, but here I go. I'm going to do it. And so I go up, and I go up to the top of this vert ramp, and I get this thing going, you know, and I kind of look down, and it's really far down there, and I can't even balance right now. This is, you know how this is going to end. And I balance over the ledge, and I work up the courage, and I drop in on this thing. And within, I don't know, no time at all, I realize my skateboard is no longer with me, right? And I'm just kind of falling. And the nice thing is it's kind of a nice, like, slow, like, you don't just, like, hit the ground because then I would die. I pretty soon find out there's no skateboard around me. I don't know where it is, right? And so I hit the ramp, and I do the thing where you kind of, it's like that like polished wood, you know? And I just kind of slide down, and it's the, you know, like all the way down, and then, you know, up the back, the other side a little bit, and then back down. And so eventually I just kind of settle in the middle, and the skateboard comes and hit me on the head. I don't know if that happened, but I do know I fell. I do know I had some gnarly road rash from it. Yeah, I found out a very important thing in that moment. I found out something that was very helpful. It took a lot of pain to figure it out, but I discovered that I am not a skater. Okay, that no matter how much Tony Hawk I played, no matter how much punk rock I listened to, no matter how cool my shoes were, or how awesome the panther on the bottom of my board was, I was not a skater. I was not a skater. I didn't have that experience. I didn't know what I was doing. Now, with practice, I could become a skater. I never really did, but, you know, that's fine. But I was not a skater. I had this identity in my head. I was thinking I was someone I wasn't because I wanted to impress other people. I wanted people to see me and go, oh, man, Chip is so cool. Man, look at what a cool skater kid he is. But that wasn't who I was. That wasn't my identity. I got my identity mixed up, and I paid the price for it. See, guys, when we get confused about who we are, when we get confused about what our identity is, bad things can happen. When we get confused about what our identity is, we can get hurt from it. Listen to what God says about who we are. About what our identity is. We're going to be in the book of Galatians today. If you have your Bibles, you know, open them up to Galatians. We're going to be in that book all morning long. And this is what God says through the pen of Paul about who we are if we know Jesus. If we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, this is what he says our identity is. So this is in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says this. I lost it. It says this. Here we go. I have been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's defining who we are. It's defining who we are, and he says, we have been crucified with Christ. Now, what does that word crucified mean? Someone want to tell me? What does crucified mean? Yeah, up there. Right. Crucified is being put to death. Jesus was crucified. That means he was hung on the cross and put to death. right? And so when this says that I have been crucified with Christ, what it means is that the old us, the old man, the person that you were before you knew Jesus, is dead. The old man, the person that you were before you put your faith and your trust and your hope in Jesus Christ, that old person is dead and gone. That is no longer who you are. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You're no longer the same person you were before you knew Jesus. And now your life does not belong to you. It belongs to Christ. Because you see, you were crucified with Christ. That old you went to the cross with Christ to die. And when Christ got back up again, that old you stayed dead. And now the life that you have in your spirit is not yours, it's Christ's. You want to know who you are? This is the answer. If you know Jesus, you are a new creation. Your life is not your own. Your life belongs to him. That's who you are. You are a person who is filled with the life of Christ. And I think there are two ways that we mess up this new identity that we have. So we ask this question of what does it look like to live the life of a Christian? What does it look like to live a life of a Christ follower? We mess this up in two ways. Remember yesterday, I said that Nicodemus might have been misunderstanding the gospel in two different ways. Said on one hand, he might not realize that he's a sinner. And on the other hand, he might think that, yes, I'm a sinner, but I can make it right with my own power. Well, when we talk about getting our identity wrong and not understanding what it means to live as a new creation in Christ, we can get it wrong in two ways. And they look very, very similar because they're the ways of thinking of the old man. One is we can say that since Jesus paid for my sin, since Jesus paid the penalty for all of my wrongdoing, now that I've trusted in Jesus, what I do doesn't matter. That since Jesus paid for me, now that I've trusted in Jesus, what I do doesn't matter. Sin doesn't really matter. And so we end up living a life that looks just like the world around us. We end up giving ourselves over to the desires of the old man, to all those things that we used to sin in, all those things that we used to do, the lying, the cheating, the stealing, the whatever it is. We end up giving ourselves over to that because we say, well, Jesus has already paid for it, and so it doesn't matter anyway. So one way we mess up our identity is we say, well, Jesus has paid for it, so it doesn't matter. The other way we can mess it up is we say, well, Jesus paid for my sin, which means that because of Jesus, I get to go to heaven now. But even though Jesus paid for my sin, now it's my job in my effort to make myself like him. Right? So on one hand, we say my sin is paid for, so sin doesn't really matter. On the other hand, we say the penalty of my sin is paid for, and now my job on my power is to make myself like Christ. Either sin doesn't matter at all, or sin does matter, but I need to fight it on my own. And both of those things are us being confused about who we are in Jesus Christ. Both of those things are us being confused about our identity. And if we make either of those mistakes, either of those errors when thinking about who we are, we're going to end up with a whole lot of pain like I did at that skate park. Okay? The Bible says no. No, you're not the same as you were. You shouldn't go on living in your sin just as you did before you knew Jesus. And you also shouldn't think that this is all about you trying harder. Because it's not about you at all. This is about Christ. It's about the fact that you are now a new creation. If you know Jesus, you are a new man. The man you were before you knew Jesus is dead and gone. He doesn't exist. He's not in the driver's seat because he doesn't even have a pulse. Okay, you are a new man, a new creation. Now your job is to live like it. But if living like a new creation isn't about just kind of giving into sin and it's not about trying harder, then what in the world is it about? If living like this new creation, it isn't about working for it, and it's not about just kind of doing all the same stuff you've done before, then what is it about? How are we to live this way? How are we to live the life that Jesus has made us to live? How are we to live a life that reflects who we really are, our identity, that reflects the fact that the life we now live, we live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for us? How should we live that life? Once again, answers here in Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And the whole book about the whole book of Galatians is about this. I would love if you guys could spend some time today over the next couple of days reading through the whole book of Galatians, because it's such a focused book in the Bible, and it just keeps talking about what does it mean for us to be justified and sanctified. That's a big word for saved and made like Jesus. What does it mean for all of that to be the work of the Spirit? It's all there in the book of Galatians. I want to read this from Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But I say to you, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. See, guys, when we put our faith and our hope and our trust in Jesus, when Jesus comes into our lives, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, when we're made a part of the family of God, the desires of our flesh don't go away. We talked a few days ago about how the desire of the flesh, how sin comes from desire, right? Sin comes from wanting something more than we want God. And just because we put our faith in Jesus doesn't mean that those desires and that those wants go away overnight. But it means that now we have the power to fight against those things that is beyond ourselves. Because on our own, you and I, we are helpless against the power of sin, against the power of our desire. But listen to this again. Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify. That means to give in to. Walk by the Spirit and you will not give in to the desires of the flesh. If you walk by the Spirit of God, then you won't give in to those things that the old you gave into, the things that the old you wanted, the things that the old you desired more than he desired God. If you walk by the Spirit of God, you will not give in to those things anymore. Temptation doesn't go away. But all those things that you were tempted by, cheating and stealing and lying and bragging and fighting and cussing and whatever, those were desires of the flesh. Those are the things that the old you wants to do. But the old you is dead. That's not who you are anymore. And now it's the Spirit of God living in you, a child of God. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, then the Bible says that you need to live like it. That if the Spirit of God lives in you, then you need to walk in the Spirit. You need to walk in the Spirit. Elsewhere in Galatians, verse 22, it says that we are to walk in step with the Spirit. To walk in step with the Spirit so as to not gratify the desires of the flesh. Ultimately, guys, it's about what we fill our lives up with. It's not about trying hard and just fighting against sin. It's about what are we filling our lives with? Are we filling our lives with things that allow us to walk in step with the Spirit? I want to give you guys a little visual here. I've asked Zane to come up and help me with something because I have no talent, but he does. So I need some talent up here. So Zane has this lovely thing right here. It's called a guitar. And this is something that is designed to make music, right? A guitar is designed, it has a purpose, and that purpose is to make beautiful music, like this. Lovely, right? So that's what a guitar is supposed to sound like. That's what this is made to do. This instrument is made to play that kind of music. And guys, if you know Jesus, if you have a relationship with Christ, then you are an instrument designed to play music. That's your identity. You are designed to walk in the Spirit. You're designed to live a life like Jesus is. But just like a guitar can get out of tune, your life can get out of tune. You see, it takes constant upkeep for this guitar to make the noise it's supposed to make, right? Zane has to tune it before he plays it, or else it's not going to sound right. And guys, we need to keep our lives in tune as well, in step, in tune with the Spirit of God. And we do that by filling our lives with the things of God, with the people of God, with the Word of God, by praying to God. That's how we do it. But it's really easy to let those things slide. So we say things like, you know, I know that we should go. I know the family should get up and go to church in the morning, but man, it's just hard work. And we had a kind of a late night on Saturday, and it's not worth it today. And we get a little out of tune. Or we say, you know what, I know I should read my Bible. I know it's an important thing, and I want to fill my life with the Word of God, but I'm really tired, and I had homework tonight, and I just don't want to do it. Or we say, you know, I know I shouldn't watch this thing. I know I shouldn't listen to this thing. I know that this is putting things in my brain that should not be there and that are not healthy and that are not reflected in the Word of God. But I mean, all my friends are watching it. All my friends are listening to it. I want to be able to be a part of those conversations, and so we do it anyway. Or I know I should pray, or I know I should surround myself with friends who point me towards Jesus, but that's just too hard, and I would rather do this. And little by little, we allow the tuning of our lives to slip. Little by little, we allow our life to be filled up with things that are not the things of God. We allow our life to be filled up with things that draw us away from our true identity in Christ. And pretty soon, our life is not making the music that God made it to play anymore. Sounds like this. Now, I want you to notice something. This is still a guitar. This is still something that is designed to make music. It's just out of tune. It has lost sight of what it is supposed to be doing, what it's supposed to sound like. You can go sit down, thank you. I'm not gonna make you stand up here too much longer. But guys, it's still a guitar. Here's the thing, right? If you have put your faith and your trust in Jesus, you are a new creation. And some of you, you might be living like the old man. Some of you, you might be out of step with the Spirit of God. Maybe you're living a life where you've decided that, you know what, Jesus paid it all, and I don't really have to do anything anymore. I don't have to pay attention to what he tells me to do. I'm just going to do my own thing and follow my own desires. Or maybe you're saying, you know what, Jesus paid for my sin, but I still need to make myself better. But ultimately, neither of those things are keeping you in tune. Neither of those things are keeping you in step with the Spirit. And so no matter how hard you try, you're going to keep falling back into pretending like you are the same man you used to be. You're going to keep falling back into living this life that gives in to the desires of the flesh, the desires to do things that are against God, or the desires in your own pride to do it all on your own. Guys, we need to keep ourselves in tune with the Spirit of God, in step with the Spirit of God, because if we walk in step with the Spirit, if we fill our lives with the things of Jesus, we fill our lives with the Word of God, with the people of God, with prayer to God, if we fill our lives with the things of God, we stay in step with the Spirit of God, then we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We will not fall back into our old way of living. We will not get confused about who we are. We will realize that who we were is dead and gone, and who we are is now wrapped up in Jesus Christ. If you want to know what that looks like, if you want to know what that music that your life was designed to play sounds like, once again, we have the answer right here in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, that means that the natural product, the natural thing that happens in your life, in your character, if you are filled with the Spirit, if you're walking in step with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Then if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Guys, if you're trying to do it on your own, if you've given up on doing it altogether, if you fall into either one of those areas, I'm going to tell you this, your life is not going to look like the fruit of the Spirit. You can't make those exist in your life, in your character, by your own effort. That only happens by the Spirit of God living in you, by you filling up your life with the things of God. And as the Spirit lives in you and has his way in you, he will make you more and more like Jesus until your life is one that is filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Guys, that is the music that your life was made to sound like. That is what you were made to live. So if someone were to look at your life, what would they see? If someone were to listen to the music that your life is playing, what would they hear? Would they see a life that looks just like the world around you? Or would they see a life that looks like Jesus? Would they see someone who's trying so hard in their pride to make it on their own? Or would they see someone who knows that they're broken and knows that they need Jesus? Would they see someone who doesn't care about what they do and does everything just like the rest of the world? Or would they see someone who wants to live a life to the glory of God by the power of God? If someone were to look at your life, would they see the fruit of the Spirit or would they see the fruit of the flesh? Would they see the old man, who the Bible says is dead and gone? Or would they see Jesus Christ living in you? What would I see if I looked at your life? Let's pray. Dear God, God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you give us the power to live a life like Christ's. That by the power of your Holy Spirit living in us, we can turn away from the desires of our flesh because our flesh is dead. The old man is gone. That is not who we are. God, I pray that we would fill our lives with more of you, that we would open up to your Spirit by reading your word, by spending time with your people, by filling ourselves with the truth of who you are and what you've done. God, I pray that in doing that, we would live lives that look more and more like you, that are filled with these fruit. Father, we love you. We thank you that this is not on us, that it's not about us trying harder, but that it's about us opening up to you working in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.